Good morning. That is a promise we sing, that one day we'll all be with him. And that is exactly what the Israelites had to do, had to go through in the Old Testament, and the fact of the wilderness wandering. They were trying to reach the promised land. They were trying to reach the land flowing with milk and honey. And today we're looking at Moses' final instruction before he dies. You see, Moses knew that he wasn't going to go into the promised land because of sin that he had done. And so as he's preparing for his demise, he wants to make sure the people are ready. He wants to make sure that they're prepared. He is in Deuteronomy chapter 29, where our lesson is this morning, going to ratify the covenant between God and the people. They need to understand the nature of this covenant. They need to understand why they're given this covenant, who they are, and the dangers that they face regarding keeping the covenant. And so this morning, I want us to look at what Moses has to say as his final words of warning and encouragement to the people of Israel. The first point that I want us to talk about is the fact of God's grace was given to the people. Verses 1 through 15, let's go ahead and read the first four verses. Deuteronomy 29, beginning verse 1. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Now Moses called all Israel and said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. The great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great wonders. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear to this very day." Moses starts out talking about how there was an additional covenant that was to be given. There was an additional covenant that they needed to understand besides the one that was given in Sinai. Ones that was given on Mount Horeb. And in the first three verses, he brings out specifically all the things that they had seen the Lord do. They were blessed in the fact that they saw great, mighty, powerful things. But there's a problem. Verse 4 says they had no clue. They had no idea. They did not understand what these signs meant. Now I realize that it says that the Lord had not given them a heart to perceive. And one of the things that we're going to see today is the fact that God truly knows our heart. This is something Jesus brought up in the New Testament. He looks into the heart of man. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're doing. And yet he says here that they did not understand. In verses 5 through 8, Moses reminds them that God took care of them. They saw the mighty things. They saw the miracles and all the wonders. But verse 5, it goes on, he says, "And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you. Your sandals have not worn out on your feet. You have not eaten bread nor have you drunk wine or similar drink, so that you may know that I am the Lord your God. And when you came to this place, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, came out against us to battle, and we conquered them. We took their land and gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites, to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh." He says, look at how God took care of you. The clothes that you are wearing, now think about this, didn't wear out. So that means they didn't get holes in them. They didn't. How many of you got clothes that have lasted 40 years? That you wear every day? God saw to it that they didn't have that need. The sandals that they wore, that they walked in, that they traveled on every single day, didn't wear out. He says that they didn't have food. They didn't have wine. They didn't have strong drink. The question is why? Why didn't they have the things that they needed for the next day? Because he says right there that he wanted to know. He wanted to see that the people to see that he is God, that he is the Lord. He wanted them to know that. And so they would see that God would give them the very things that they need every day. Moses goes on and he reminds them of the victories. All the victories. Look at all the things that God has done with Og. With the kings that live in the land. We conquered them. You are getting these properties. You are getting these things as your promised place. So God has caused them to see all these great, powerful things. He has taken care of them every step of the way. Now we get to verse 9. And he says, therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them that you may prosper in all that you do. All of you stand today before the Lord your God, your leaders and your tribes and your elders and your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones and your wives, also the stranger who is in your camp, from the one who cuts your wood to the one who draws your water, that you may enter into covenant with the Lord your God and into his oath, which the Lord your God makes with you today, that he may establish you today as a people for himself, and that he may be a God to you, just as he has spoken to you, and just as he has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I make this covenant and this oath not with you alone, but with him who stands here with us today before the Lord our God, as well as with him who is not here with us today. He says, you are standing here today because God brought you here. You are standing here so that you can be in a covenant relationship with God. You are standing here because of his mercy, because of his grace that he has brought you here. You are standing here because he has provided for you, making you able to stand. He begins in verse 9 by telling them to keep the words of the covenant and to do them so that you may prosper in all that you do. That's something we must never forget. We must remember this every day, the fact that we are alive, the fact that we are in this very moment right here this morning is because God's grace and mercy has brought us here. It's because he has chosen us to bring us to this point and cares for us. So, do you see the problem that Moses is identifying? God has done all these marvelous works. He has done all these miracles and all these mighty great works in front of them. They have seen it. They had seen all that God had did to the Egyptians. They saw that their clothes didn't wear out. They saw that their sandals didn't wear out. They saw that they were on the brink of going into the promised land. and receiving the promise. They saw all those things. But they did not see God through those things. And so this issue continues throughout Israel's history. In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, Isaiah is, this is where he is called to be the prophet. And in verse 6, or chapter 6 rather, verse 9. And he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed. Isaiah was going to give Israel this message. And God tells them that I am going to give them a heart, or rather, I'm not going to give them a heart to understand in that day. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 2, God made the same declaration about these people. He says, son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see but does not see, ears to hear but does not hear, for they are a rebellious house. Then when we turn to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is in the midst of giving all sorts of parables. And in this particular section, he's talking about the purpose of the parables. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 13. He says, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the parables, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Jesus quoted that from Isaiah. So the point, the whole point, and these aren't the only places that these passages are quoted. The whole point is that this problem continued for many, many years. This problem of seeing all these great, powerful things and not understanding where God is in them is something that we need to see. It's something that we need to understand, because that warning began all the way back in the Old Testament with Moses. And Moses observed the specific thing that they had a problem. And that problem was in their heart. So now I want us to see how that leads us into the rest of the teaching in chapter 29. Let's pick up at verse 16. He says, for you know that we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and that we came through the nations which you passed by, and you saw their abominations and their idols which were among them, wood and stone and silver and gold, so that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, and that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. And so it may not happen when he hears the words of this curse, that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, even though I follow the dictates of my heart, as though the drunkard could be included with the sober. The Lord would not spare him, for then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy would burn against that man, and every curse that is written in this book would settle on him, and the Lord would blot out his name from under heaven. In these passages, or in these scriptures that we've just read, Moses is telling them, do not reject this grace. God has poured out all these things on you. And he warns them against having a heart that turns away from God. He warns them of having a heart where that root inside of the heart bears forth bitterness and wormwood. He warns about having a stubborn heart that thinks that you can get away with things. Verse 20, there's no forgiveness. Notice he says there, the Lord would not spare him. For then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy would burn against that man, and every curse that is written in this book would settle on him, and the Lord would blot out his name from under heaven. There's no forgiveness for rebellious thinking. A person has sealed their own fate if their heart is this way. Surely we see here, verse 21 and following, that this disaster will come. And the Lord will separate him from all the tribes of Israel for adversity according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in the book of the law, so that the coming generation of your children who rise up after you, and the foreigner who comes from a far land, would say, when they see the plagues of the land and the sickness which the Lord has laid on it, the whole land is brimstone, salt, and burning. It is not sown, nor does it bear, nor does any grass grow there. Like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboiim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and his wrath. All the nations would say, why has the Lord done so to this land? What does the heat of this great anger mean? This is the disaster that's coming. The disaster that's coming on this person, but not just the person, the whole entire nation. And in verse 24, all the nations about them ask, why? Why is this happening? Well, he gives us the answer in verse 25. Then the people would say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he had made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt, for they went and served other gods and worshiped them, gods that they did not know and that he had not given to them. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against this land and bring on every curse that is written in this book. And the Lord uprooted them from their land in anger and wrath and in great indignation to cast them into another land as it is to this day. It's because they abandoned the covenant. Because they went after other gods. In 1 Kings chapter 9, the Lord appears to Solomon to remind Solomon, to warn Solomon of the outcome. He told him, do not turn away from the Lord. Do not have a heart of rebellion, because it will lead to disaster. 1 Kings chapter 9, 4 through 9. Jeremiah 22, verses 6 through 9. The nation was being uprooted and destroyed for having this heart. That's where the true problem begins. The Lord's work had not changed their hearts. Instead, they had hearts that still possessed a root of bitterness and poisonous fruit. And so I want us to focus on the picture in verse 18. In verse 18, we'll read it again, so that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, and that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. You see, there are roots in our heart that need to be taken out. I know we've got some among us who do a lot of gardening, or rather do a lot of weed pulling. And if you've ever pulled weeds, you know what happens if you don't get the entire root out. If you don't get the entire root out and you only get that visible part that's on top of the ground, it's going to grow back. As sure as tomorrow comes, it will be back. It may look nice on the surface, but give it a day or two because it'll come back. The same thing happens when you're mowing your lawn. You mow your lawn, it looks all pretty and green and nicely cut. And then a day goes by, and next thing you know, things just start shooting up. There's weeds in along with your grass. The reason is because the root is not dealt with. Only the surface was dealt with. You have to get the root out. So this is exactly what he's telling them. But something they've not taken care of. Even in the first century, they were still struggling with heart problems. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15, the Hebrew writer says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by this many become defiled." All the things that God has done has not changed their heart. It has not made them different. It has not impacted their lives or their way of thinking. They have gone about life and enjoyed what God has done, but they still don't see. They don't hear. They don't understand. And the same is true for us. We can still think we see when we're not seeing clearly at all. We can say that we see the cross. We can see Jesus. We can see the gospel. And yet there's no fruit. There's nothing that shows we are different, our actions or our thoughts. We're the same as they are. We are same worldly people. But God has brought us here so that we simply should see him and see that it is God. The last verse I've sectioned off. You know, it's not too often that you hear this verse quoted, but as a matter of fact, we heard it quoted this morning. And Moses simply writes, "The secret things belong to the Lord, our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Now, this verse means more than you think. It means more than simply the fact that there are things which man does not understand. There are things which, you know, we'll have to wait for and ask when we get there. It's much more. This is what they call a hinge verse. It is the verse in between two sections. In chapter 29, we have all the warnings of judgment. And we're going to see chapter 30, where we see all the future hope and blessings that are going to come about. The secret things do belong to God. But the real point within the context of what he's saying is that God has revealed all that we need. He has revealed to us all that we need to carry out the words of the law. While our knowledge is not complete, there is everything that we've been given to obey. God doesn't leave us with half knowledge. He gives us the things that are necessary. And so finding the roots in our hearts is not only essential, it's not impossible. God has given us the tools that we need. No one can say, you know, I'm this way because, you know, God made me this way and I can't change. God revealed what we need to look for. Verse 19, he said, look for a stubborn heart having a poisonous root. We have everything to change. We cannot remain stubborn. We cannot remain like the man there in verse 19, who in his heart says, I shall have peace even though I follow the dictates of my own heart. For someone to say, I can have peace with God and do exactly all the things that I want to do, is absolutely ridiculous. He says, it's just like a drunkard being included with a bunch of sobers. It's two different things. It doesn't mix. When we maintain our stubborn hearts and continue in our disobedience, then this is the result that they have. God will not give them a heart that can hear, a heart that can see, a heart that can understand or perceive. Complete commitment is necessary. In order to grasp all the things that are going on, that God is doing in our lives, it's possible to see the works of God, to hear the very voice of God, to see all the wonderful, powerful things that God does, and still neither trust nor obey when we have this type of heart. And so we've got to do the work. And this is the lesson for us. You got to pull the weeds. You got to get in there deep and get all the roots out. And it doesn't come, they don't come out quickly, they don't come out easily. The easiest thing to do, just mow over the top. Just cut the tops off of it. That's the easiest thing. But it doesn't get to the root of the problem. And so we have to do the hard work by grabbing the root, pulling it out, and not letting it remain. So God has blessed us in so many ways. He's done so many things for us. And he wants us to continue to have a heart for him. A heart that hears, a heart that understands, and a heart that perceives. So if you're here this morning and you've been struggling with your life, you've been struggling with your walk, we invite you to come. Maybe you need to be immersed into Christ this morning, baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Whatever the need is, now's the time to come while we stand and sing the song of invitation.